week, Brandon, come back. You know what? No, every week, and then come back on the weekends, because, man, it's good in here today. Can I just tell you, how many were blessed by the word Ikea brought this morning, right? All you have to do is sit at the table, right? Can I tell you, everyone in here was encouraged by that word. It's the same thing that your gift does when you express it. Did you hear me? When you walk in your gifting, your calling, your anointing, it does the same thing. You say, yeah, but I don't have the anointing that Kia has. You don't need the anointing that Kia has. You don't need the calling that Kia has. You're not going to reach the people that Kia does. Amen? It's not going to happen. But yours is just as beautiful, just as powerful, just as magnificent when it's expressed. But so much of the church holds theirs in. Kia, were you a little bit nervous to come up and share that today? Very nervous. Anybody else ever been nervous to share what God gave them? Absolutely. See, this is what happens, and then we step out into it, and we all of a sudden realize, that wasn't so bad. And we realize people say, that was incredible. Really? I wasn't sure. I was wondering what God was going to do with that. All I know was burning on the inside of me. I didn't know what to do with it, so I just said it. And then people come up and say, it changed my life. It changed my life. You know, I needed to hear that. Just sit at the table. Just sit at the table. He supplies it all. What an amazing God. And guess what? His never runs out. His never runs out. You come to my table and eat, we're only making just so much for you. I just want you to know, all right? You ever have a bunch of teenage boys come over? The difference between me and Pastor Tom, we're talking, the difference between having teenage girls and teenage boys in your house? Teenage girls are louder than anything on the planet. Teenage boys, you can tell them be quiet, they'll be quiet. But when you wake up, every cupboard is open and there's no food in the house. So you can either have noise or you can be broke by morning, one of the two, all right? But I want you to know, though, your gift. You know Darren Carey? Do so. We got another Darren and Carey. Cordo. The other ones are Do so. Where's the Do so's? Oh, they're downstairs teaching. Okay. when we were just worshiping and stuff, God gave me a word, and He said He's going to give you the grace to do everything you need to do this year. He said there's going to be a supernatural grace upon what you're doing, and He's going to complete it effortlessly. But He said, next year is His. So enjoy this year. With your plans. Because His are better, more powerful, and more beautiful. He just said there's going to be a grace upon you for this year. For whatever you need. But He said, next year is His. All right? So I can't wait to see what He does next year. Because I know He's still doing more beautiful things in you and your marriage and your children this year. But there's something greater coming next year. All right, Kim, make sure we write that down and put it in a book so I can call them next. February 28th, the last day of February. Hallelujah. Come on, March. Come on, March. Come on, daylight savings time. That's all I can tell you. Huh? This morning, we've been talking about vision, and you know, I was thinking about the power of vision for each and every one of our lives, and you know, there we got, I just named it power vision, because there always is power in the vision, amen? But there's a power vision that God wants to do. Remember growing up, we had Wonka vision? Or at least we were all waiting for Wonka vision, right? When we watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory the first time. I wasn't really into all my particles getting disseminated and thrown through the air, and because I wasn't sure what I was going to look like when I got back into there, you know, upside down tomato or something like that. But we had the Wonka vision, and you know, we had these different vision things that we were looking at, right? Walt Disney said we'd be flying everywhere by now, and all of these different visions that men have placed out there, and some of them haven't come to pass yet. And I just believe that that's the same thing with your vision. The same thing with your vision, that hasn't changed. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I made a major mistake. Yes, but the vision hasn't changed. Yeah, but I backed off. I got distracted. I didn't want to fulfill that because it was too scary.
I didn't want to stand up and give a word. I didn't want to reach out and bring people into my house and train them and equip them. I don't know enough. Yes, you do. The vision hasn't changed in God's mind. Amen? Now, the vision comes from God, right? It didn't come from the pepperoni pizza or none of that stuff. Your vision that God gave you came from God. Amen? So our job is to focus on what God said. It is not to look at what's going on in the world. The problems in the world is because the church lost its vision. Amen. Not every church and not all everybody in the church, but I got to get into this first. Okay. Sorry. It's good to be in the house of God today with the saints of God. Man. Father, we just thank you for your word. We want to glorify you. Reign us in. Every desire that's not of you, reign it in. Every thought that is not which whatsoever is pure and lovely and a good report and of virtue, Father, reign it in. Every desire that we've had outside of what your plan was for our life, Lord, we want to reign it in today. We want to let it go. We want your plan, your purpose, and your vision fulfilled in our lives. And we thank you for it this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now I'm a little bit nervous to preach today. I mean, you know, between Jeff and Key and Pastor Romano. Whoo, some powerful preachers, amen? Amen. Isn't it wonderful what God has done when different people stand up and do what they've been called to do? How powerful is that, right? Jeff was talking about walking in the spirit weeks back, and I want to walk in the spirit, because you see, if I walk in the flesh, then I'm just going to produce words. But if we walk in the spirit, we're going to produce life, because there's life in the spirit of God. Amen. That's what life is. Life is knowing Jesus. John 17:3 says life is about knowing Jesus. That's what it's all about. And the more you know of him, the greater life is. The freer life is, the richer life is, the more powerful life is. But when we limit prayer, we limit the word, we limit worship, we limit these things in our life because we're going after what the world said, then we minimize the vision that God has given us, and we limit how much of an expression of the beauty and the majesty of God is in the earth. I don't want to limit it anymore. I want to be the loudest worshiper there is. I don't care what I sound like. I don't care what it sounds like. I just want to make sure that everything that I have in my being expresses his love. Everything in me shouts his praise on every mountaintop that I'm in and every valley I walk through. I want to scream so loud that every demon goes deaf. That's my plan. They're already a defeated foe. You know what? When they go deaf, they can't hear what the devil is telling them to do. And they just walk around like a bunch of blubbering idiots, which was what they are, because they defied God in eternity. That's my thought process. It's different. We're fighting, I was telling these young teenage girls here, we're fighting a defeated foe. How hard is it to defeat somebody that's already defeated? How hard is it? And yet the church, 2,000 years later, it's hard. It's so hard. I can't get past the thought. Johnny broke up with me. Oh. And then for months, we walk around crying, blubbering, and whatever the issue was, but it's as silly as Johnny breaking up with me. Thank God Johnny broke up with you. There's some women out there that wish Johnny would have broke up with them. But whining and moaning over something and it consuming and controlling your life and it's defeated already. We give it life, it's dead. We give it authority, it's done. Jesus said, it is. Tell your neighbor, say, he's finished in my life. It's that simple. Now we get into the word of God and we stand in the word of God. We proclaim the word of God in every situation. We don't stop thinking about the things of God. And that's where we win, amen? We don't move from that. Yeah, but Johnny broke up with me. We don't move. from what God's word said. Okay, Genesis. Well, first, after Jeff and walking in the spirit, and then, of course, Kia said to clean my house and get my house in order. Who do you think you are telling me to get my house in order? I'm driving around down there, and I'm watching on my phone, and I'm like, who does she think she is? She come into this house, and she tell me to get my house in order. And you know she had an attitude part of the time when she was saying that, right? Because Larry says they're born with it, all right? But can I tell you, sometimes my house is messy. Sometimes my house is messy. And I need to sweep that thing. Sometimes I need a shop vac sucking the nonsense out of my mind and in my house. And we need somebody to say, get your house in order. Why do we need to get a house in order? Because God's about to do something beautiful through you. But he can't do it in a house that's out of order. Can I tell you, sometimes your natural house is a picture of your supernatural house. For around your house is complete chaos and out of order and a wreck. And inside of your house is chaos and a wreck. I would imagine that there's some disorder going on in your spiritual life too. Because that is not my house, that's his. And I need to take care of that. Just like I need to take care of the house that he gave me. Called the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, it doesn't mean we have to vacuum 5 times a day. She's off. She's good now. We got a Roomba for Christmas. That thing turns on at 9. Yep. I'm like, what is that noise under my bed? It got stuck under the bed. What the heck? We got termites, cockroaches, rats. We got everything. They're trying to eat through my bed. Just a Roomba. Sometimes we need to sweep that house clean. If you don't know what a Roomba is, it's a little round vacuum that's automatic, okay?
Everybody knows what a Roomba is.
Okay. Sometimes there's some stuff in my house I got to clean out. I got to sweep it out. In the name of Jesus. And Pastor Romano on attitude, perspective, and purpose. Attitude is the first one I think I ought to just clean up a little bit right now in the name of Jesus. Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. Come on. We've been talking about Joseph for a while, and we're talking about vision, and Joseph had a dream. What's the difference between dreams and visions? Anybody? One of them, you're asleep. The other one, you're awake. Pretty complicated stuff that's going on in the church today. We are digging deep. All right? He said, your young men will what? See visions. You old guys, guess what you're doing? You're doing a lot of sleeping. Because you're dreaming a lot more. That's what he wants. Moses, when he walked up to that bush, what happened? He said, whoa, what in the world is that? He was wide awake. And it was a vision of the burning bush that he had to go and he had to check out that God was showing him. But then Joseph had a dream, the Bible says. Amen? So it was when he was asleep. Sometimes God works into dreams a lot because it's the only time we're still enough where he'll be able to speak to us where you won't get involved in it. Amen? He likes to. But it says that Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Can I tell you? Sometimes you have spoke about the call of God in your life, and other people became jealous of it. Other people said, oh yeah, you think you're going to be able to do that? You think that's you? Who do you think you are? Or maybe you heard those words in your head because the devil said that. Come on, I know your past. You can't do that. You're a failure. You're a loser. You don't know the word of God enough. You're going to step out there, and if they ever find out what you posted on YouTube 22 years ago, they'll crucify you. I've already been crucified with Christ. We didn't have YouTube 22 years ago. I'm safe. Hallelujah for that. Because if they had YouTube back in Mr. Cartwright's day, there would be movies made. That's all I'm going to say today. Goes on to verse 6, and he said to them, please listen to this dream which I have had. Have you listened to the dream that God has given you lately? For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up, also stood erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Then his brothers said to him, are you actually going to reign over us, or are you really going to rule over us. So they hated him even more. Look at that. You start to step out in it. You think the devil likes it when you step into the call of God in your life? The minute you say, I will, he hates you even more. Now, he is hate, and it's hard for him to hate you even more, but he does. You know why? Because you scare him. He is so petrified of this body right here that he will do everything he can to bring division so that you don't come next week. Those people are a little wacky. They all went up front and they prayed for him for healing. That's a little bit out there if you're a newcomer. We are way out there. But we ain't out as far as we're getting ready to go. This is a leap year, amen? And what God is bringing us to, we're going to leap into something that we can't do in our own strength. And it's going to look a little bit crazy. Just like you. You all look a little bit crazy this morning. Y'all look in your eyes. When you speak, you sound a little crazy. God's going to do great things through me. The power of God lives on the inside of me. The Spirit of God showed me. Really? Show me the Spirit of God. Well, he lives in me. And you think I'm crazy. I've heard you. I've heard you speaking of the wonderful things that God has spoken, God has promised, and God's going to do. And that makes you crazy. And I'm so thankful that we're in the house of crazy. I don't want to be anywhere else. I want to find the craziest Christians on the planet, and I want to rub elbows with them because I believe that they will do the most in the kingdom of God. The ones that aren't afraid to walk away from a job, aren't afraid to lay down and sell everything they have, not afraid to walk away like Peter and James and John and Matthias and the rest of them. They all said, Jesus didn't say, make sure your retirement is set and then come follow me. He didn't say, make sure you paid everything off and that you keep control of it all and you don't need anybody to supply anything, because if that's the case, you don't need me. But the church of God needs to get to a place where we need him more than I need anything that this world has to offer. Because can I tell you? No man can stop his hand from coming down and supplying for your life. I went in a prayer room and God spoke that to my heart and I couldn't get away from it. What can stop the hand of God from coming down? What's going to hold back the hand of God over your life? Is there anything that can stop him? Listen, he found you when you didn't want him. Right? He loved you when you were mocking him and using his name as a curse word. And he still said, nobody's going to stop me from changing that heart. I'm going to send the craziest people I know to go to that one, because everybody around there said, they're too crazy. They'll never accept Jesus Christ. They're mean. They're ornery. Yeah. And they're so steeped in darkness, brother. Stay away from them. And God said, I need some crazy ones. I pray that every time they say, we need crazy, Holy Spirit says, Rock Solid Church. We got a job for you. You're just right for what the Father needs done. Sorry, I'm trying to get through this, but you guys are just so much fun to be with. And my heart is so full. It says, then his brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us, or are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for the dreams and for his words. Now, he had still another dream, and he related it to his brothers and said, lo, I have still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. And he related it to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him. His brothers think he's crazy, and they don't like him. His father rebukes him and said to him, what is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground? His brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept saying in his mind, and he kept pondering this in his mind. You know, the difference between a vision and a dream, we already said that was one of you sleeping and one of you awake. And the terms used for vision in both testaments have to do with seeing and perceiving. Sometimes we see what God wants to do in our lives, but we can't perceive how he's going to do it. Amen? So it's seeing and perceiving. You know how we get clarity and better understanding? Prayer, the word, and leadership. That's what we do. A lot of young men have come, men of God. I sat with three of them the other day talking about where do we go from here? And we were able to see and perceive. And we got a line on some things of what we believe that God is calling us to. We're going to step out in faith and we're going to watch God magnify what we had talked about. Amen? See, so we got to go now to leadership. If I've never been there, if you've never planted a church, come on and talk to me because we've done this before. And we know how to prepare for that. Amen? And I believe there's some men in here that God's called you to plant a church. When are you going to stop being afraid of what he said and looking at your past and say, I can't? I believe that his provision for your life when you surrender how much? All right. You guys can go home. You got it. That's all we wanted to get to. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is ra, R-A-A, or haza, H-A-Z-A, in several noun derivatives, and it simply means to look at or to see. And when we look at most of the visions in the Old Testament, it was something that they saw. Amen? Right? When Elijah was up there, and his servant was there, and he looked around, and he said, whoa, we're going to die. Elijah said, hang on a second. Many are more of those that are with us than those that are against us. And he saw the angels in heaven. God gave him an open vision. And I want you to know them same angels are around you. Can I tell you, your angel is ferocious. He had to be to keep you alive this long. Remember the stupid things you did? Yeah. That long trip where you couldn't believe how you made it home from Texas? Yeah, it wasn't you. His angel kept you in them lines and he got you home. And there's a whole lot more they want to do for you if you'll allow them, but you're going to have to step out in faith. Each one of us are going to have to step out in faith. Amen? In the New Testament, the Greek word is hareo. And it's one of the Greek verbs to see, observe, or perceive, but it's related to the noun and it's a common for the word vision. So, and visions are most frequently found in the prophetic portions of the Old Testament, which we already know. And prophetic books like in Isaiah, Nahum, they start off with, it's a vision. And I got to hurry because Elijah set that clock wrong. But, you know, and besides the book of Revelation, when we look into the New Testament, most of the visions are in Luke in the book of Acts, right? And most of the visions that we read about, can I encourage you, read the book of Luke and read the book of Acts. Because God still wants you to have visions and dreams. God didn't stop speaking and showing. Can I tell you, God loves to paint pity. God loves to paint pretty pictures. You say it three times fast. And guess what? Spring's coming. He's getting ready to paint. Hi, beautiful. He's getting ready to paint some beautiful pictures. When them tulips come up, they're usually the first ones out here. And when that first one opens, I go out there and I just, life coming out of that which was dead and desolate. I don't know where you've been, but I want you to know, life came into you today already. In worship, when you started to sing, life started to come into you. When you walked up here to the altar, life came in and darkness started to be driven out in the name of Jesus. Healing came to your body. You've got to agree with that because that's what his word says happens when he walks in the room. Amen? And when we walk in faith. And we see Gabriel announces the birth of John, also Jesus. Ananias and Paul, right, received visions in the book of Acts in chapter 9. Peter and Cornelius, right? Peter, the Lord showed him the net that was let down. And thank God he broke that curse of the Old Testament. He said, eat anything I made. Yes. Hallelujah. And then the angelic visions freed Peter from prison. Right, Paul was called, the Macedonian call came to Paul and he was brought into Macedonia and preached the word of God. The visions that God has, he wants to show you. Will you write down what he tells you starting today? Because I'm sure, I would imagine, can't say I'm sure, I would imagine that if I went around, 95% of the people in here did not write down a vision for this year. And February is over. It's not about condemnation, but it's about a remembering, amen? It's about stirring up again that gift that God spoke to you, maybe during the fast, maybe God spoke it to you after the fast, maybe he's speaking it right now. Get out your pen, write it down, type it into your phone, whisper it in your neighbor's ear so you don't forget it, whatever it takes, okay? But we don't want to finish out the year without looking at a vision that God has placed before our eyes. That's not what we want to do. That vision before your eyes takes you into some strange places before you're prepared to fulfill it. You're getting ready. If you're going to walk out the vision of God, you're going to end up in some strange places dealing with some different issues in your life. But stand strong, because God's going to lead you to a place where many people's lives will be changed. Has your life been changed? Okay. Has everything become new? All of it? Okay, wait, I want to hear. Was everything made new? Okay, Jojo, you were shaking your head. No. Were you just like checking out your hair and being cool, you know, and just throwing it to the side, the quiff? I'm Jojoing him in the house, baby. Jojo, has everything been made new by God? All right, that's my man right there, Jojo. That's right, everything has been made new. Right, so that old you is not new. That's old and busted. You're the new hotness in town. That's who you are. It's old. Every mistake you made is old. Every word he spoke is new. Every failure, old. His purpose, new. Every dream, old. There's something new. It's a leap year. And he's bringing it into your life. Write it down. What he's speaking to you. Write it down. So the visions of Luke and Acts announce God's plan for the immediate future or empowerment of the church in the present. That's what the visions and the dreams are going to be. It's something for now. John the Revelator, he wrote enough about tomorrow, didn't he? He's quite clear, about as clear as mud in some areas, but he's quite clear in what's coming. Amen? New heaven, new earth. Jesus coming back on a horse, blowing the trumpet, we're all going to know at one time. We don't have to wonder what day. God said, don't worry about tomorrow, take care of itself. Today's got enough trouble of its own. Right? So he said, don't worry about it. John the Revelator wrote about tomorrow. God wants to speak to each and every one of us about today, about something that's coming this year. Oh. Within the next year, he wants to speak to you in dreams and visions about what's about to take place in this next year. If you figure out who's going to win the next Super Bowl, let me know, because I've got some extra money laying around. The Bills. Well, that is a faith statement, that's for sure. I love faith, Tom. Whatever is in your vision is your vision. Whatever is within your vision is your vision. It's that simple. Whatever is in your vision right now is your vision. Whatever you're staring at, it must be the Holy Ghost. I need some crazies. Whoever that was, you must be crazy. The Holy Spirit's hooking you up today with a purpose, I'm telling you. Whatever is in your vision is your vision. Because whatever you're staring at, that's your desire. Whatever you're putting your eyes on morning, noon, and night, that is what you are living out your vision. So wherever you are, you cannot blame me. I'm off the hook. Oh, sorry, Larry. I'm off the chain. All right. Larry said off the hook is old. Maybe off the chain is old now. I don't know, you know. Maybe now I'm off the tuna fish. Who knows? Whatever's coming next. But whatever you're living in right now, that's your vision. Do you like the vision? Is it a supernatural one? Do you need God in your vision? because you're living out your vision. And I need that to sink in. Because at the end of the year, I don't want you in this vision that you're in right now. I need more people sitting around you. Because for the vision of God, he fell in love with you. And when his love filled you, you fell in love with his call, with his purpose, and with his kids. But you are living out your vision. You can say, well, this isn't the vision for my life. Yes, it is. Because it's whatever you put before your eyes. Because if you do nothing but sit in front of this thinking television, guess what? You'll do nothing except become more depressed, have less of a vision for the world. Fear will fill you up, right? You will get distracted by what the world is chasing after, and it won't be the plan of God. You will say, this is too hard, it's too difficult. There's nothing too difficult for our God. But you see, you're living out your vision. You're living out what you've allowed into your life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he or she. So what you determined in your heart, you wanted as your vision, you're living in it right now. Take a snapshot of your life. Take a snapshot. Write down. What do I give my time to? What do I give my finances to? What do I give my heart to? What do I give my reading time to? What do I give everything too, because that's what you have been putting before your eyes, and it needs to change for the body of Christ. Amen. Mine needs to change. We're all in this together. This is not about somebody's got it all worked out, somebody's doing it all right. Joseph had a dream, and it took a while. God had to prepare him to fulfill it all. Maybe yours is taking a while. Is that okay? Can you still fall in love with God? Can you still serve in the kingdom of God? Can you still give from whatever you have? Can you still bless and not curse? Can we do all of those things in the midst of it? Whether it's being sold, whether it's in Potiphar's house, in the pit, or in the palace, wherever we're going, or prison, can we enjoy the road that God has without losing the vision? And I believe that God is getting ready to change the vision in this house and your heart. Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3, we know it very well. We say it every time when a vision comes up. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. The one who reads it may run. So this is your vision that you have to write so that you run. He didn't say so that you walk. There's got to be a goal for a runner. It's no fun running without a goal. It's no fun running without purpose. It's no fun. I don't like running anyway. I'm just being honest. All right? Strap a motor between it. Put two wheels, four wheels, whatever you got, and we'll ride. Running in the natural, the knees don't like it anymore. And I had asthma when I was younger, so I could run 100 yards. Another 100 yards. My brother just run. Choom, 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 choom. I'd punch him in the mouth, and I would run 100 yards, and I would wait. And as soon as he got close, I would have my breath and take off and run another 100 yards and wait. But I couldn't run long distance. But I'm telling you, this is a long distance run. And there is one goal, and it's Christ. That's it. The only goal is Jesus Christ and what he has written down for our lives. Amen? It goes on to say in verse 3, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal. It hastens towards the goal. It doesn't waste time. God is not wasting your time. He has not wasted a moment of your life. Every situation that you have been in, he has used it to prune, to strengthen, to build, to tear away, just like he did in Joseph's life, preparing him for something magnificent. Tell your neighbor, say, God's preparing me for something magnificent. Come on. And some people are like, God's preparing me for something magnificent. I want you to know, I believe he is. And that's when I look at you, I see something magnificent. And I know that there's magnificence that lives on the inside of you. And therefore, there's a product that's coming. And it's going to be magnificent. I don't think any of us have arrived yet. Not one of us. You know, Kia mentioned that what God desires for you is supernatural. I want you to know, it's supernatural. You're not going to get it in the natural. We discipline ourselves in the natural, but what we read is supernatural, right? We pray in the natural and sometimes in the supernatural. A supernatural tongue that we don't understand, but God does. And he takes those words and he strengthens us. He said, build yourself up in the most holy faith. Why does he know that you need to be built up? Because out there you're going to get torn down. But he said, every time you come, you're tearing down things. You're strengthening yourself. When you start to speak in tongues more, Paul said, I do it more than everybody else. And people have a problem with it this day. Some churches and some people preach against it. But I want you to know, if it's in the Word of God, I want it. And if it strengthens me, oh, I need it. Amen? And maybe you say, well, I've never had that experience. Stay in there. He said, if you ask, you receive. Right? Kia said, if you sit at the table, you're going to feast. And you're going to receive from the hand of God. He said, if you ask, well, I've been asking. Keep asking. Don't move from it until you get what God promised you. Don't move. You hang on. You tell the kids, you go to bed at 6 tonight because I got to go there and I got to spend time with God. But I'm not done eating dinner. You ate enough yesterday. Don't worry about it. Because I am so hungry for what God has. Let them finish their meal, but... Jeremiah said, which we all know, 29:11, I know the plans. Listen, God's vision for you is quite clear, isn't it? I know the plans that I have you. I love what the message says. I know what I'm doing. You know what he's saying in that? You don't. Isn't that what he told us? We know in part and we prophesy in part. So he's right. He said, I know what I'm doing, says the Lord. Are we going to be okay with that? That God knows what he's doing in us and through us and for us and with us. Can we trust him in this? That he knows what he's doing? Yeah. So are we going to complain about where we're at? Or are we going to realize, wait a minute, I'm at what I've been looking at. And I don't want to be with that where I'm at anymore. I want to be where God's calling me to. And I believe there's something, tell your neighbor, there's something greater for you. Something greater for you. I don't know what your name is there on a hat. I don't even know who you are. Have I ever met you before? Well, we're glad you're here. And I want you to know there's something greater for you than what you've been living. What's your name? Keith? I like it. Nice to meet you, Keith. We're glad you're here. But there's something greater than what you're living. You've been doubting it. He's not. He who began a good work in you is able to complete it. I don't know what you believe or why you believe it, but I want you to know you need to believe the Word of God. All right? So we need to have lunch, you and me, Keith, all right? I'm your best friend right now. That power vision is when we line up with what His Word says. That's when power comes into your vision. God's given you a vision, but when that power comes into that vision, everything changes in your life. When that word starts to be the engine that's running on the inside of you. When that word, every time somebody looks at you and says, you can't. Yes, I can, because I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. You're a failure. No, I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. When that engine starts to race on the inside and you're looking at the goal, and that goal is to glorify God with all that I have in my life on the earth. Nothing else interests me. Hey, come on, you want to go over here? No. You want to get a tattoo? Heck no. That's just me. You want to go over here and get drunk? No. You want to go get stoned? No. You want to go gamble? What are you, a moron? You know how hard it is for me to get this money? And I'm going to give it to somebody who stacked the deck against me? Not a chance. I'm buying a cheeseburger. I ain't giving it to somebody. But I'm not losing my focus or my vision. I'm giving everything I have and lining it up with the Word of God. And when that motor starts running, let me tell you something. Just like old John Riggins for the Redskins, remember? Fire up that diesel. Boom, boom. That's what he used to say. He used to say it all about John Riggins. And when that diesel got loaded and when he started running, nobody could stop him. He was running through guys, over guys, around guys, and he was getting to his goal. You know what? That's who we need to be. No distractions. I'm not going in a different direction. I'm going to go through the troop, and I'm going to jump over the wall. But I'm not losing focus of the goal that he has given me. Can you run through a whole troop? Yes, you can, because he goes before you. And that troop just starts to divide and it starts to spread. And what you saw as something impossible all of a sudden vanishes before your very eyes. One time in my life, I thought a strong marriage and a beautiful marriage and an amazing marriage was impossible. But then God went before us and he opened up my eyes and then he healed my heart and then he changed the way that I speak. And then he gave me a gift I didn't deserve. And then I realized what God had done. He had changed me and given me something that is so precious. I didn't know how to act. I didn't know how to speak. I didn't know how to walk. I wasn't sure about it all. And I thought it was an impossibility and it wouldn't last. And then all of a sudden, it started to open up. And God started to speak things. And then I started to do what his word said. And then I saw my wife smile at me when I did what God said. I was like, I got a smile. I'm going to do that again. And again. And again. And then I tried something else. Well, let's try this. And that got the eyebrow raised. And I thought, so I got a smile and an eyebrow raised. And I said, well, I'm going to try something else that God's word says. Baby, I just want to serve you. Well, that got me a big old smooch. And man, but I'm telling you, it was because we set the word of God before us. And I didn't understand it. But it was one step at a time that I stepped out and said, I don't know if she's going to reject, if she's going to belittle, if she's going to make fun of. I don't know how she's going to respond to this, but I'm going to do what God said. Can I tell you, that's not to do with marriage. That's at your job. How is somebody going to reject you because you bring Jesus Christ? But when you do what the word of God says, he starts to pry open what you see as a troop or a wall. And then you start to enjoy the benefits of your faith in the word of God. Amen? It starts because that vision starts to change things. You don't see a troop anymore. You don't see a wall anymore. All I see is the back of the King of Glory walking before me. He spoke it in my ear. He said, follow me. And as I follow him, all I can see is him. And guess what? When he walks through, everything parts, even the Red Sea. There's no obstacle before you that he doesn't walk through and prepare a way through. It doesn't exist. Yeah, but I've been hitting against the wall because you're not looking at him. You're hitting a wall because you're going in a different direction than he's called you to. He's over here walking. Come on, follow me. And you're over here walking. You're like the Roomba under my bed. And God said, hey, over here, that's the old you. That's the old vision. I've got something new. Follow me. The wall's going to tear down. The wall's going to open up. The army's going to disappear. The lies are going to be destroyed. Your freedom is going to come. Your health is going to be renewed. Look at me, he said. Man, we only got 3 minutes. And then because we probably didn't pay the YouTube bill, we're probably going to run out of minutes here, but not really. I just want to say in closing, we'll skip to the rest of it some other time. Zechariah said in 10:12 that I will strengthen them in the Lord, and in his name they will walk, declares the Lord. I will strengthen them in the Lord. If we're going to bring any strength to one another, we're going to have to keep the Lord in the middle of it. We're going to have to bring them all back to the Lord, all back to the Word of God, all back to the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Zechariah 9:6, it says, "For they are as stones of a crown." Ah, you are the jewel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you are. That's what he said. Can I encourage you? Don't doubt him. Don't doubt him. You are a jewel in the crown. And he said he's going to strengthen each and every one of you. In 1 John 1:5-7, it says, "And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." So then we're going to have to figure out what's in me that has to go. I need light coming in, because that's who Christ is. And when he does, that darkness has to go. There is no shadow of turning in him. Amen? There's none. He doesn't change. You can trust him with your heart. With your heart. The most tender thing that has been hurt, scarred, beat up, busted, you can trust him with it. He will never stomp on it. He will never shatter it. He said he's a healer. And he takes that healing balm of Gilead and he starts to massage the heart. And he starts to fill those cracks that were there. And he starts to make it beat again. And as he's massaging the heart, the walls around it just start to fall. And all things become new. That's the way that God handles each and every one of us. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So this morning, if there's any darkness, whether it's wrong thoughts, let's trade those thoughts, can we? Can't we just say that those thoughts are lies? Can't we just defeat a defeated foe? Doesn't even make sense, does it? Somebody's already defeated, laying there, all busted up, and then you got to go try to defeat them. Just staying with the Word of God. I'm a failure. No, I'm an overcomer. I've lost everything. No, I've gained everything in Jesus Christ. I can do nothing. Not in your own strength you can't, but in him you can do all things. My family is a wreck, but I'm a restorer, says the Lord God Almighty. I don't care where your children are. I don't care where your marriage is at this moment. I don't care what's going on in your finances. I don't care if you haven't been walking with the Lord very long. I don't care if you made mistakes or you pulled back from the call of God in your life. I want you to know he's a repairer. And there is nothing that he can't repair. You may have a few dents in your fender and a couple rips in your jeans. But I want you to know he's a repairer. For everyone that comes with them. It's a country song. Pastor Romano sitting here. Oh, it's a Christian song? Oh, how do I know? I don't listen to it. I don't know. It just remembered in my mind. So this morning, your vision, and I'm speaking to each one of you individually. Your vision, what is it? And maybe you're here today and you feel like you've been sold short like Joseph was. Maybe you feel like you've been in captivity or quarantined like Joseph. Maybe that's how you feel, like you've been in captivity a long time and you don't know how to break out. Maybe you feel like you've had a prison sentence and you just can't wait until Jesus comes or something else tragic happens and you go home to be with him. If that's your vision this morning, it's about to change. It's about to change. It's about to change. It's about to change, because we're going to believe God for dreams and visions for every man and woman and child in this house. And then you're going to write them down and you're going to know in part and prophesy in part. And we're going to sit down and talk about it. We're going to see how we can formulate a way for you to walk forward and carry out God's plan for your life. I want you to write down your vision on March 11th. I'm just praying this morning for you men. I want you here on March 11th at 6:30 p.m. It's a Thursday evening. Because I believe that God's got a call on every man's life in here. And gentlemen, if you're available and you're hungry, I'll be here at 6:30 on March 11th. You can be here. And I will guarantee you that things will change. Those that believe that they have a call of God on your life, be here. March 11th at 6:30. If you want something more, God wants to do it now. Now. He just stirred it in my heart this morning. Right now. You believe you got a call. I don't care what else is going on. Yeah, but we have my grandfather's third aunt's cousin's sister's birthday party. And I'm supposed to bring the chocolate chip cookies. Have somebody else bring them. Cook them ahead of time. Mail them. FedEx them. I don't care. Clear your calendar and be here. Be here because I believe that God wants to do something different. This is a place where dreams and visions become a reality. The house of God is a place where dreams and visions become a reality. Amen? This is where they take form. This is where they start to become real. This is where people start to get involved in your dream, in your vision. We had a vision, a small one, for feeding people. Lisa took it a lot farther than I was gonna. She makes me work a lot harder than I wanted to. Poor Pastor Bob, she's got him strapped with a back brace, knee braces. I don't care how tired you are, Pastor Bob. Give me them boxes. Get them old boxes in the truck. Get them to the dump. We got 10,000 pounds coming tomorrow. Pastor Bob, yes, Miss Lisa, because everybody's afraid when she does that. Kia says, get your house in order. Okay. It's an oasis where you're refreshed, strengthened, and then you're sent on your journey. We're walking out your calling, where lives are changed for eternity. Lives are changed for eternity because of you. Tell your neighbor, say, because of you. Tell your other neighbor, because of you. Tommy, did you say it to two people? You just won? Stand up. Stand up, Tom. Stand up. Tell everybody, because of you.
Because of you.
All right. See, that's a man under authority right there, and God can do great things with a man under authority. What was your name again? Yeah, Keith. See me afterwards, Keith. All right? I didn't want you to run out scared. Stand up this morning. Michael, nothing's changed for the people's lives that you are to change. Nothing. The anointing hasn't changed. The power hasn't changed. Nothing. You're just as powerful as the day that you got saved. Nothing has changed. Your thinking has to be realigned. Nothing's changed. You're going home and writing it down, right? You're going to dream. You're going to have visions. He said he's going to give them to you. He said his sons and his daughters. That's the ones that are doing it. His sons and his daughters. So if you agree with that, he said, I'm going to give you a dream and I'm going to give you a vision. Now, it might not be a burning bush. Don't stand out there next to the rhododendron. Lord, this is all I will accept. How many people have tried to do that to God? Right? This is the way it must work. If you really are God, you will burn that rhododendron before my very eyes. What he wants to do is something different in your life. Right, Pete? Is he doing something different in your life? It's a good man, see that? It's the only answer that's acceptable. Has God changed? So is he doing something beautiful in your life?
Yes.
Is he able to begin or to fulfill and finish the work that he has begun in you?
Yes.
So nothing has changed, amen? Nothing. Austin, when is your house going to be a house of prayer and studying the Word of God? I say next month. Why not?
right? God gave him an amazing wife. She received an amazing husband. The word of God is in both of them, right? How long have you been married? 1.5 years. That's long enough for a honeymoon, all right? Now it's time to get to work. It's what God wants. But can't we all start to do something and become a habit, and it's just a little bit off of what God wanted? And we need somebody to just stir us a little bit. And I pray this morning that I stirred you a little bit to dream again. As Pastor Romano said last week, dream again. And I was watching. Yeah. I was watching. Had my cruise set at, well, I had my cruise set. And we were watching the live stream on the way home. And I want you to know that, Sean, just stop it. And I want you to know, though, God's plan for you is magnificent. It's a beautiful plan. Brian, you and Trish, your lives are about to be changed this year. You've looked at others, but God's been looking to you. You've relied on others, but God's going to rely on you. You've looked to others, but God has been staring at you, and he said, this is that year that I'm going to use you to transform other people's lives. I don't need you holding someone else's hand saying, hey, lead me on. He said, I want to do that this year, but it's going to take time of you being quiet with him. It's all he wants. And then one after another going to come because of the heart that God has placed on the inside of you. Don't worry about organizing and administrating anything. Your wife will take care of that. All right? The whole town will be organized. You sneak away with him and allow nothing else between your soul and your Savior. Nothing. He said you're going to have to let go of the hand and you're going to have to grab his. And sometimes that letting go of the security of someone else is more difficult than we realize. Letting go, grabbing onto something is pretty easy, but letting go and not knowing what's going to happen next, that becomes a little bit scarier, doesn't it? I remember letting go of Greenville when they asked me to come here. I cried. I begged God not to do it. I asked, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, if there's any other way, Lord. But I said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he sent me here. And now I have all of you beautiful, beautiful friends and family. And I look forward to God doing spectacular things for your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I'm so thankful for the word dream. It opens up endless possibilities. It opens up areas that we can't see in the natural. We're reminded of the vision that you gave Ananias. And he obeyed the vision that you have given him, or the dream that you gave him. And he went and he set Paul free. Oh, thank God for the man that set Paul free. Thank God for the man that prayed, obeyed God to the scariest man on the planet for Christians. And yet he walked into the room. You walked in ahead of him. He laid his hands on him and Paul's eyes were opened. He got set free. He got changed. And he wrote more than we can comprehend. God, let us be those men and women that dream and see visions. Endless possibilities of where you're going to take us, how you're going to use us, whose life will be changed because we obeyed the King of Glory. You've changed us. You've defeated all of our foes. And you set us at liberty. And Lord, as we go, let grace, mercy, joy, and peace flood our souls so that we become the pole bearers of the presence of God. That no matter where we walk, we carry each one from darkness into light through the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. dream, write it down. Gentlemen, March 11th at 6, be here.
Thanks for listening this morning. We pray you were encouraged by this morning's message. I want you to know also that the word of truth, when it goes out, it accomplishes those things with which it was sent forth to do. So be expecting Him to do a work in your life this week, as we're expecting it to. The seed was planted, now it's going to be watered, and it's going to grow, and it's going to produce a harvest of righteousness in your lives.